Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Friends and family in Christ, thank you so much for tuning in, for sharing the podcast. God bless you. Men, coming up Saturday, Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Men of Iron Conference is taking place at One Way Christian Church in Green Bay. Pastor David Roth is speaking. He's the pastor there. Also bringing in Pastor Matt Truella. He's with Missionaries to the Preborn and DefyTyrants.com. Also, Coach Dave. Dave Dobenmeyer is a coach, speaker. He's the founder of Pass the Salt. So three great men, just for men, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. But don't feel bad, ladies. We've got our Worldview Matters conference coming up May 1st and 2nd. And briefly, I just want to mention, we are looking for more sponsors. So Jeff, if you could bring up that sponsor page, that's on the website, worldviewmattersconference.com. Sponsors. Yes. Yeah, so we're looking for a lot more. Harbingers Daily, Lighthouse Christian Books, The Family Radio Network, Freedom Project Academy, Liberty Sentinel. Who's this guy? David Fiorazzo Ministries, His Sword Ministries. That's the latest to add on to supporting. Oh, Legacy Church. By the way, they're a huge church in New Mexico, sponsoring a Worldview Conference in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Interesting. The body of Christ coming together. So thank you, guys. Tony Garulli is our guest today. The website is radicaltruth.net, and he's got tons of great videos and a lot of very important content on sharing the gospel with Muslims, apologetics, evangelism. He gets into Islam. We're going to talk a little bit about Islam today, obviously, with all that's going on. And Tony, thank you for your time. Good to see you again.
Great to be with you again, Dave.
Yes, thanks so much. Now, let's start with Iran. So a lot of people are so heartbroken, if we have a pulse, at what's going on there with the slaughter of the citizens there. Just talk to us about what you know.
Yeah, Dave, I have a friend who was born in Iran, grew up in Iran, and was part, or I shouldn't say part, but experienced the Evin prison there, and it basically is the notorious Iranian prison, Islamic-run prison in Iran. And people around the world, obviously, unless you're in Iran, don't understand all that's happening there. What a lot of people are seeing and hearing is obviously just what's on the news. They had heard that on January 13th, President Trump had said, help is on the way. Unfortunately, Iranians didn't know exactly what that meant. They didn't know how soon that would be, what kind of help that would be. They didn't know if the end of that sentence should have been in 6 months or next week or so on. But the Iranian people have basically rose up unlike they ever have before. You know, a lot of people don't realize in general that in 1979, the late 70 revolution that took place there, that wasn't just an Islamization that took place. And then that's something for people to point to saying, oh, yeah, you know, that's the beginning of this Islam problem in the world, was the late 70s. That area was Islamized centuries upon centuries ago, around the time of Muhammad. But after that, it became more westernized. We saw colonialism happen in different areas of the world, in different countries. What happened in the late 70s was a re-Islamization. In other words, that was an Islamization of what was once known as Persia for a second time. And when the Ayatollahs came in, who were basically voted in, a large vote was based on the liberals, leftists, the people today who we call socialists, communists, etc. They were the ones who highly voted for the Islamists who came in, who then took out these red people, whether they were communists, socialists, what have you. They were the first people who the Iranians took out after they actually took power. Now, I'm going to give you a boots on the ground thing that I got. Okay, I got this from a friend, again, who's from Iran. Now, this is a man who said this here. Now, this is what my friend said first. My friend, who I'm referring to, said, my friend in Iran, who was recently arrested in a small town, and again, this person who was arrested was a man, he was beaten, badly tortured, and raped. He witnessed women being raped by Islamic militants as well. Hmm. Now, this is what the man in Iran who was arrested in the small town actually said. This is word for word here. Okay. "Hello, dear." And then I took out my friend's name. "I'm exhausted. I wish I had been shot so I could be at peace. Day and night, all I do is worry that there might be a microphone hidden in my clothes, and I've searched the room several times." So this is the type of scenario that Iranians are facing there.
Mm.
And if you're a Christian in Iran, it's you have it worst of all. Mm-hmm. Because already you're being persecuted for being a Christian in a country where the underground church is growing like never before. And yes. A lot of people are also not aware of how large the underground church in Iran is.
Yes.
But at the same time, you have a country under full Sharia. Now this is under the Shia, where Sunni would be full Sharia, say Saudi Arabia. But Iran has a large young movement of people who don't want to have anything to do with this Islamic radicalism, quote unquote, when again, radical just means to go back to the root. So a radical Muslim simply just does what Muhammad said to do. And the Iranians up at the top are devout Muslims, just like the Saudis and other people, other Muslims throughout the world who are devout and follow the primary sources of Islam. Of course, Sunnis and Shias don't get together for a number of reasons, but they're both following the Quran first and foremost, along with their Sharia books and so in their Hadith collections. So the Christians in Iran have it worst of all. You have people who aren't Christians, but are just rising up against the regime who are being persecuted as well. At this point, we've heard the tens of thousands, close to maybe even to 100,000 Iranians have been murdered because they want freedom. They don't want to live under the Islamic regime. And unfortunately, we don't know what's going to happen. Again, we don't know what type of help Trump is talking about or how quickly that has come. A lot of people think that it should have come by now. But at the same time, the latest, this story just came out today, and this is the exact headline: Trump threatens Iran if they don't make a deal. You're going to, and he says this is what he said, "You're going to be finding out in the next 10 days. Bad things will happen if it doesn't." In other words, wow. In the next 10 days from now, and we're February 19th now. January 13th is when President Trump said help is on the way. And he wow. said this to the protesters. So if the Iranian regime are basically hunting people 24 hours a day, that's 24 hours and people being murdered. Now we're talking over a month ago. He said help's on the way. Dave, we don't know what's happening. I mean, but at the same time, President Trump needs Jesus. He's a sinner. Now, what's the alternative? If Biden was in office, what would Biden be doing? He'd probably be giving Iran millions of dollars for something.
Like so, Obama did, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like we're in a fallen world, number one. Number two, we have a fallen human being as a president. No president's going to be perfect. However, mm-hmm. we have to consider the alternative. And what would be happening if Trump wasn't in office and someone else was? Wow. Again, all we need to do is look to Biden, look to Obama, how they dealt with Iran. So could things be better? Yes. But could things be a lot worse? The answer is yes as well.
Do you think briefly, I know this is speculation, but do you think there's a possibility that President Trump got some advisors saying we need to help these people and just out of his heart and doing the right thing, wanted to go and help because they were being slaughtered by their own leaders, the government there. And then he got more information on how really volatile and it really is complex, the whole situation there. It really is almost an impossible situation because who's going to take over new leadership then? I don't know mm-hmm. that there's a good solution there. So maybe he then got more information after he said help is on the way. What are your quick thoughts on that, Tony?
Well, you figure it can't get any worse as far as becoming more Islamic because Iran is under full Sharia, which is the goal for the entire world. Again, you have Sunnis in Saudi Arabia under full Sharia. You have Shia, Shiites in Iran under full Sharia. but you can't get more Islamized than it already is. All it can do is get less Islamized. And again, you know, I have videos on our channels of the late 70s when women were walking around looking like Western women. So it can change that quick as far as Islamization. So now what's the alternative? It's under full Sharia. So now it can become completely Westernized again, or it can at least become, you know, I mean, there's different people who are kind of putting names out there as far as what's the alternative.
Yeah.
It's like you have a new Islamic, you have a new leader in the current Islamic regime, or you have someone who was like the Shah who wants actual democracy and so on. So again, we don't know what's going to happen. We may know in the next 10 days, as Trump said, what's going to happen. Is there going to be war? But how long is the war going to happen? And what's the options after that? Is like, who's the ultimate leader going to be, basically? That's what people are wondering.
Okay, Tony, before we come back stateside and talk about Minnesota, and we have talked a little bit about New York, I think, with you and Mamdani. If I'm mistaken, we can talk about that a little bit more. But you said something before we got on the podcast about Sweden that I wasn't aware of. What's the landscape like there, and what's going on in Sweden that you can tell us?
Well, about 48 hours ago, James O'Keefe, who a lot of people love because he is putting out undercover documentaries all the time and exposing a lot of corruption.
Yep.
He went undercover into Sweden, Rickaby, I believe is the way you pronounce it. And that is one of the areas that has a very large immigrant population, obviously a lot of Muslims. And Sweden, I talked about in Lights Out When Islam Rules America back when I released that in 2019. In 2019, you had people who escaped the Middle East who said, oh, I went to Sweden so I'd be safer, and are now feeling threatened in Sweden because of the Muslims who are going to Sweden as well. In other words, the mass when you allow mass immigration to take place, you're not just importing people, you're importing their worldview, you're importing their religion, and of course their culture as well. And that's an important distinction a lot of people don't make. There's a difference between religion and culture. We don't want to conflate the two. But people there are being threatened because they have many Muslim immigrants who are going there who see Jews and Christians and just non-Muslims as the enemy. And in 2019, I had said in Lights Out that Sweden was widely known even then as the rape capital of Europe. And when I say the rape capital, that is of men and women.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just to go back to Iran there a few moments ago, the man recently said that he was raped and he saw women being raped by the Islamic Muslim extremists as well. So in Sweden, James O'Keefe was, I thought he'd be talking about the Islamization there. His goal was actually to talk about Antifa and the red and this red-green alliance, so to speak, because he was trying to infiltrate an Antifa building stronghold and expose what's going on there. And what he did, of all things, is he went to a Muslim store and he bought some Islamic garb and he put that in. He put that on. And when he went to this Antifa-run building, he was like, he walked right in. He was like catered inside and taken care of simply because of what he was wearing. And this just goes to show the strong relationship between the red and the green, the socialist communists, Antifa, and Muslims. And this is a very long relationship that goes back many decades. I have a number of shows that we've talked about on this. And James O'Keefe was basically infiltrating this Antifa area and letting people know what's going on there and about the relationship between the two. And it's crazy that just by putting on that Islamic garb, he was welcomed everywhere. No one thought anything, but guess what? He had his undercover, hidden cameras as usual. So people need to go to his either X, formerly known as Twitter, page, because you can watch his videos there. And I'm sure they're probably like on Rumble or some other platforms as well. But again, it's just his latest expose on the relationship between the red and the green and in Sweden of all places. And the thing is that these same type of videos have happened in the US years ago. And on our channels, I have four different videos of a Jewish journalist, Arabic speaking, who in America was exposing the goal for America and spoke with a lot of Muslims in different parts of the US. He also had an undercover video in Germany, France, and another country. But we have four videos, though. So James O'Keefe went to Sweden to do this. At the same time, I have videos on our channels about the same thing in America itself. So it's just going, it's just letting people know that this Red-Green Alliance is a worldwide thing,
yes,
not just a U.S. thing.
Yes, thank you. We've got to wake up to that fact, friends. It is here. Time willing, or when we come back with Tony, we'll talk a little bit about Minnesota, New York, talk a little bit more about why it seems like a lot of people aren't paying attention to this very serious problem, which Tony and I have talked about so many conversations. In fact, the last episode we did with him was called Immigration and Islam According to Muhammad. It's not to assimilate, friends. That's one of the points here. But we will be right back on Worldview Matters. Register now for the Worldview Matters Conference, May 1st and 2nd in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Expert speakers include Alex Newman, Brianna Clausen, Olivier Melnick, Tim Chafee, Mark and Amber Archer, Laura Perry Smaltz, Jake Jacobs, Jay Siegert, Gary Cobb, Scott Shera, and Elijah Abraham. Delta Hotel, Green Bay, May 1st and 2nd. Go to worldviewmattersconference.com. That's worldviewmattersconference.com. All right, friends, Tony Garule is our guest today. He is with Radical Truth. And Tony, before we jump into some cities or states, what's happening here, which I think caught a lot of people by surprise. You sent me some information on population changes comparing the UK to North America. And I've always said jokingly, really, I mean, well, what happens in the UK doesn't stay in the UK. And sadly, that's true. So explain to us your concerns here about the population.
What I did, Dave, I gave a couple of presentations back in September at a conference in California, and one of them was called Islam in the Last Days. And basically, we have a sermon version of that, but the coordinator of the event wanted more of a warning to the people at the conference, and of course, it's online now as well. And I figured what would be better than getting the census from the UK and the population of Christians, Muslims, and even atheists over the last couple of decades, as well as the US. And in the UK, they're an odd year. They're 2001, 2011, 2021, where in the US, they were 2000, 2010, 2020. And what's pretty crazy and interesting and alarming is that when I made Lights Out in 2019, I talked about how the UK was pretty much 10 to 15 years ahead of the US. And unfortunately, in the last 6 years, we have moved very rapidly to where we are now less than 10 to 15 years behind the UK. But I'd warn that if we don't learn from their mistakes, we're going to follow in their footsteps.
Yes.
And if you want to put up the UK census here first, people, we need to look at these numbers. 2001, yes. just look at 2001 to 2021, if nothing else. Christians in the UK from 41 million down to 27.5. Muslims, 1.6 up to 3.9. And no religion, 8.5 up to 22.2 million people.
Wow.
So what do we have? What do we have in the UK? We have a lower amount of Christians and on its way to being in half of what it used to be. And this is just in the last 25 years. Muslims, we've already doubled the number and are probably on the way to tripling it in just the next few years. And at the same time, no religion, 8.5 million in 2001. So in the UK, 8.5 million in 2001, this is no religion, atheists, agnostics, you know, whatever. And then up to 22.2 million. So we not only see Christianity dying, so to speak, because the churches there are closing. Years ago, you had secularization taking place. And secularization, as I've always said, leaves a vacuum for Islamization, because Islam is the one religio-political system out there, religion and political ideology combined, which is what sets it apart from every other man-made religion and theological cult. So if Muslims are more devout for a lie than Christians are for the truth, and therefore Muslims are more outgoing about what they think is true but is actually a lie, and Christians, a very small percentage, are sharing the gospel, which is the solution to all this, then not that totally explains not only the growth of Islam, the growth of Muslims in the UK, but it also explains the growth of people who were just non-religious, who say, oh, I just don't believe in God, or I don't know if God exists. But if you want to pull up the US now, we see a similarity. Different year and some different numbers, but same exact pattern. Christians in the year 2000, 338.9 million, down to 237.6 million in 2020. Muslims in the year 2000, 3 million, now in 2020, 5.9. So Muslims doubled in America in the 6 years ago, basically, and is even higher now. And no religion, exact same pattern. 56.4 million in the year 2000, up to 114 million in the year 2020. So Dave, right here, we have a UK census. We have a North American census plus Canada combined in there as well. And wow. What's even worse, what does every census do in America when it says Christians? That includes Mormons. That includes Jehovah's Witnesses. That includes every other group that claims to be Christian.
I didn't think
and yet, that. And yet, it's still down over 100 million people. So when I came out with Lights Out, When Islam Rules America in 2019, and a bunch of people said, it'll never happen here. Like I said to New Yorkers on January 1st, I'll never say I told you so. All I'll say is you should have listened to me.
Yeah, you know, you had me at something you said, that Muslims are more passionate about Islam than Christians are about the truth. Really, you said Muslims are more passionate about a lie. To them, it's all they believe. It's all they know is the Quran or Islam or Muhammad's. That's all they know. But it's a lie. It's a false teaching. But they are more passionate, and Christians are not as passionate, and that says a lot. It's part of the problem that we have here. And you said the gospel is the solution. Jesus is the answer. So, Tony, in the last 4 minutes, I mean, maybe we might not go to Minnesota or New York. I think our listeners and our viewers understand what's happening based on what we have shared before, what we've talked about on this podcast about the red-green axis, and we see it. It's clear. You can't deny it at this point. Go ahead, share whatever you'd like here.
We see the numbers, and we see Christianity dying in America based on the census, at least. At the same time, we do see these pockets of revival happening throughout America.
Yeah.
At the same time, we hear ignorantly, this many people just got saved. When we do not save anyone, we are not the author of salvation. We do not draw people to the Son. We can present and persuade. Only the Holy Spirit can convict and convert. And only time will tell, because fruit will come from people who are actually born again. And that's what matters. Even the census there that talked about Christians, how many of them are born again? Because it's even lower than the millions of people that it's even listing to begin with, whether they're Christians or whether they're, you know, the Christian population has gone down, obviously. So Christianity is growing in Iran, where it's hard to be a Christian. At the same time, Christianity seems to be dying to a degree in America, where it's easy to be a Christian. So if this pattern continues, just as that census number continues, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
It will get worse in America.
Yeah.
We will get more Islamized than we are now. And as Christianity grows in the East and Christianity grows in places where it's hard to be a Christian, it's going to be harder to become a Christian in the places where Christianity is still most prominent.
Yeah.
If we don't turn things around, because we need to learn from other people's mistakes, so we're going to follow in their footsteps.
Yes. I think you said something very important, that one of the reasons, I mean, look at the Bible, they were all persecuted, but the faith grew like crazy and it spread. We have it so easy. It's comfortable to be a Christian in America, but there's nothing about comfort really in the pages of Scripture as far as living out our faith. And that's what persecution spreads. The gospel spreads the church. It's going to be interesting. The last minute and a half, Tony, whatever you'd like to share to encourage the body of Christ.
The solution to the Islamization of America, obviously, is to uphold the Constitution and Bill of Rights and don't let those be changed, edited, modified by anyone, especially Islamists, who would rather change the Constitution and change the basis of it to the Quran, which obviously is, since Christianity was built, or I'm sorry, America's founding documents were founded on Judeo-Christian principles. If you bring Islamic principles in there, then those founding documents will change. So there's a political solution to Islam, and that is to simply not let your founding documents that are based on Judeo principles be edited, changed, updated, or whatever else. But ultimately, Dave, as we talked about, the ultimate solution is the gospel. And not just the gospel, but Christians doing apologetics along the way. So the gospel and apologetics, or the defense of the Christian faith, 1 Peter 3:15, always be ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. 2 Corinthians 10:5, we are called to destroy arguments raised up against the knowledge of God. Christians need to be able to share the gospel and defend it and know why Christianity is true personally, and be able to share why Christianity is true with other people, especially Muslims, especially non-Christians. And the thing is that Muslims are some of the easiest people in the world to talk to about God and Jesus, because they already have a belief. They just have a wrong belief of who they are.
Yes.
So Christians need to get equipped. And at radicaltruth.net, we are prepared to equip Christians to go out, share the gospel, defend the gospel, defend the Christian faith. And we have the tools necessary to help keep Islamization from further taking place in America, and giving people the tools to share the gospel and, again, defend the faith when necessary.
Amen, brother. Tony, thank you again for all that you do. Great conversation. Thanks for your time. Actually, part of it was quite sobering, but that's good for our audience. Friends, God bless you, and as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.